Today's shiur is Masechta Shkolim, Daf Chaf Aleph. We'll begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Kohen Gadol Shemeis. So as we learned in the Mishnah and at the last piece of Gemara we learned yesterday, there was a machlokes if a Kohen Gadol dies and a new Kohen Gadol has not yet been appointed, who has to continue paying for the Chavite Kohen Gadol of the Karban Mincha that the Kohen Gadol brought every day? One man Damas said that it's the tzibur that has to pay, and another man Damas said it was the yarshim, the Kohen Gadol's ears that have to pay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi bar Mamal boy, mich fashit to the Rav Shimon. We seem to have a contradiction what Rav Shimon holds. Taman Amar, in the Mishnah we quoted yesterday, Rav Shimon says, Mishal yarshim, that it's, in the Mishnah we learned yesterday, Rav Shimon says that it's the yarshim that have to pay. Why? Because the Mishnah said that the Bezdin made seven takanas, seven rules. What was one of the rules? That really the Yarshim should have to pay for the Kohen Gadol's mincha in the absence of a Kohen Gadol. But because they saw that the people were lax in doing it, that the Yarshim were lax, so they said that Tzibur should pay. But really who should pay, according to Rav Shimon's version in the Mishnah? The Tzibur. Yet the last Gemara we had yesterday, the really midrashim, the Yarshim should pay, and Bezdin made that the Tzibur should pay. For Hocha Omer, and the last Gemara we learned yesterday, we had the Gemara saying that Rav Shimon has Psukim teaching us that it's midrashim, the Tzibur's obligation. So what does Rav Shimon hold? Omer Rav Chiba Baba, V'lo Yos Hu Maksha, isn't the Gemara asking an excellent question? Os Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Ravu B'Shem Rav Yochanan, and explains as follows. Dvat Torah Hishtei Bamin HaTzibur. Midaraisa, it's the Tzibur's obligation to pay. However, Kivin Dechazu Dekomit Chalishka, what happened was, this is what the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. In the time it was Beis HaMikdash Sheni, there was a big turnover of Kohanim Gedolim, because the position was filled not by qualifications, the position was filled by people paying for the position. And they didn't, and the Kohanim Gedolim that were appointed did not last long. So there was very often a vacuum in the position until a new Kohen Gadol was appointed. And they needed to spend a lot of money to pay for this. So since they saw that the Lishko was spending money that they couldn't afford, and like the Mefarshim goes a step further, this is not taken out of the regular Trumas HaLishko. There was a special fund which was getting constantly depleted. Hayisi Omer, Yigvu Min HaYarshim. So they said that the Yarshim should pay. However, then they saw, Kivin the Chazi the Poshaba, that the Yarshim, although they were supposed to pay, weren't, his skin should buy Trumas HaLishka, they went back and said that the Trumas HaLishka should buy. So really, Midarais, it's the Tzibur Zachrayas, then it went to the Yarshim, and then it went back to the Tzibur. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, Bohu. So now the question is as follows. We're saying that if the Kohen Gadol dies, we have to continue, either the Tzibur or the Yarshim bringing this Karban Mincha, and it's not split, not like normal when the Kohen Gadol brings it, half is brought in the morning and half is brought in the afternoon. So now the question is, what does it mean that it's not split? What does that mean? Does that mean Shleim B'Shachar V'Shleim Ben Abayim, a whole Karban is brought, or a holy Sarin, a Sirus Eif in the morning and a Sirus Eif in the afternoon, or Shleim B'Shachar's U'Betel Ben Abayim? In the morning, a whole carbon is brought, and in the afternoon, nothing should be brought. How do we answer this question? The ksiv, minchas tamid. Since the Torah calls a tamid constant, it has to be brought every day in the morning and the afternoon, so it's not split, yet the whole thing is brought in the morning and the afternoon. Not a question is. Normally, what is this carbon? It's a seris ha'efa flour, an isaron of flour, and three loigen of oil. So now that we're bringing a whole Asiris Eif in the morning and a whole Asiris Eif in the afternoon, ask the Gemara, how do we distribute the Shloshes Loigim when we're paying for the carbon and bringing a whole carbon in the morning, a whole carbon in the afternoon? Mahin, Shloshes Lugim Shachris, the Shloshes Lugim Ben Abayim, do we bring three whole Lugim in the morning, three whole Lugim in the afternoon? Oi, in terms of the oil, we continue splitting it. Loig machzah shachritz, or loig machzah ben abayim, a loig and a half in the morning, a loig and a half in the afternoon. Amrav Chizkiya, so Rav Chizkiya says the Gemara doesn't answer that question yet. Oif hadot zrichle, there's another question. There's a machloikis in Masechta Menachos. how much flour, how much levoina is brought along with this. Rav Adar Bar Yossi says that a koimetz of levoina is brought. So now the Gemara's question is, when is a koimetz brought? Maybe when I bring half in the morning, I bring a koimetz along with it. And when I bring half in the afternoon, I bring a koimetz along with it. But here, since I'm bringing a whole measure of flour in the morning and a whole measure of flour in the afternoon, maybe the halacha should be that I should have to bring two koimetzim because I'm doubling everything, or not. That's the question. Af hadot shrichalei. This question. Shnei koimetzim. Normally we bring two koimetzim. Now the question is, mahein, what is going to be the halacha when we're bringing a whole measure? Do we say shnei koimetzim b'shachas or shnei koimetzim b'nabayim? We do two koimetzim in the morning, two koimetzim in the afternoon. Or the koimetz remains the same. Koimetz achas b'shachritz, the koimetz achas b'nabayim. Says the Gemara, and there's a lot of ways of understanding this Gemara. Amr Rabbi Yosef, klum londel koimetz. Where is the basis? Where's the makar? Where's the source of the din of a koimetz being brought along with a koimetz mincha? Loi m'minchas chayta. The minchas chayta requires a koimetz. Just like there is never, this way we're going to learn pshat, there's never a situation where you bring two koimetzim. A kavan mincha requires only one koimetz. Here too, even though it's larger than normal, we only bring one koimetz. So now the Gemara continues, going back to the question we asked a moment ago. We asked about the shloishes loigin, if we're bringing more, a double portion of flour, should we also bring a double portion of oil? Says Rav Chizkiya, klum lom de shloishes logim lo mitamet sheben abayim. What is the source for the shloishes logim for tamet sheben abayim? Malahalan, you bring all together shloishes logim. Afkan shloishes logim. Amar tamon srichalei, afkan srichalei. Just like there, you only bring shloishes logim. Here too, we only bring shloishes logim. So even though we're bringing double amount of flour, oil, and levoina, according to the Maskana Gemara, we don't bring double, we bring the same amount as usual. One koimetz in the morning, one koimetz in the afternoon, 1.5 loig of oil in the morning, and 1.5 loig in the afternoon. So we learned that one of the rules Bezdin made was that there is no me'ila on the afer, on the ash of the paraduma. Rav Shim ben Nachman Shem Rav Yossi. Bedinu shimalba. Really, there should be me'ila. Why should the me'ila? Because, as we said many times, the Efer Parah, the Parah Adum is called Chatos, and by Chatos, there's Me'ila. However, the Hang Gozru, Chazal made Gzeira Shloye Malubo, that there should be no Me'ila. And the Mepharshim explained, how could Chazal make such a Gzeira? Since it's a Gzeira B'Shev Al Taisa, we're not actively doing something, we're just saying that you won't get the Aveira for Me'ila, they have a right to do it. Ask the Gemara, how could you say the Midoraisa? There is mi'ila, but the eifa para v'tani. We learned in the brisa chatos melamed shemalimba. There is mi'ila in the actual paraduma. However, bo ma'alim, there's mi'ila in the paraduma. Ve'ei ma'alim ba'afra. There is no mi'ila in the ash. So how are you saying that midaraisa? There is mi'ila midaraisa by the eifa, by the ash of the paraduma. Amar Ravus, Ravu answers this way. Brishonai mishkash kishimba. What happens is the Mepharshim say people used to believe that if you take the ash of the Efer Parah and you smear it on yourself, it's a refuah, it's a medicine. So they used to smear it, and some say if it went a step further, they used to fight over it. Because they they used to put it on their wounds. The Gozru, so how did Chazal prevent this from happening? The Gozru Shemalaba, that if you use it for personal use, you're Oivim Me'ila. However, Kivin Shenigdru, then people stopped using it. So they went back to the original din that there is no mi'ila. So I saw a very interesting pshat. Al Gemara says that gezeirah shlo yamabal. Chazal then made a gezeirah that there's no mi'ila. The Bavli uses a different terminology. The Bavli's terminology is chazah adoivah l'rishoyna. Went back to the original status where there was no mi'ila. So they say, what's the difference in the terminology? There's a very significant difference. If you say that Chazra Davul Rishoyna, it means there was a problem. Chazal solved the problem and things went back. Now let's say there'll be a problem again, so Chazal can make a Gzeira again. Al Gemara uses a much stronger terminology. Al Gemara uses the terminology Gozru Shloye Malibo. Chazal made a Gzeira that there is no Me'ila on this ash. That is a halacha throughout Shas that once a Bezdin makes a Gzeira, another Bezdin can't undo that Gzeira unless it's greater b'chachma b'minyan. So now that we have a Gzeira in place that there's no Me'ila, it's going to be very difficult for any Bezdin in the future to make a Gzeira that there's a Me'ila. And we learned in the last din in the Mishnah of Al-Kinim that let's say there was a question about was a pair of birds brought or not, that the person who supplies it has to supply a question of another pair of birds out of the shayla. Why? Because if the carbon was not brought, that should have been brought, how will the woman who's relying on this carbon have a kapara? And the Gemara explains, tonight Bezdin has a stipulation that a mesapik sakinim, whoever's the one that supplies the birds, who mesapik sapsulis voidu, so if there's any question or any bird got lost, he has to make it up that nobody should be left without a kapara. We begin the last parak of Masechta Shkalim. Says the Mishnah, the halach is that a zov or a zava, their roik, their saliva, is tameh. Says the Mishnah, kol ha-roik manim tzoyim b'yushalayim, all saliva found in Yerushalayim Torah. It's Torah. Chutz mishal shuka elyon, besides the roik, that's the saliva that's found in shuka elyon, we'll explain why in the Gemara. Div remeya. Rabbi Yossi says like this. B'shakal yimayis Hashanah, during the year, not yontif time, shiba emtsa, the roik that's found in the middle of the street, tameim, is tameim. Shiba tzadim, the roik found on the side is tahar. B'shas haregel, on yontif time, just the opposite. Shiba emtsa, the roik found in the middle of the road is tahar, and shiba tzadim, the roik found on the side is tameim. And the Mishnah explains why. It's always the minority that's pushed to the side. So the whole year, where the minority is tahar, they walk on the side, and the majority of people are tameh, they walk in the middle of the road, so any roik that's found in the middle of the road, we have to assume is tameh. Yontif time, chayiv adam latar atzmai beregel, so we say just the opposite. People walking in the middle of the street who are the majority are tahar, so the roik found is tahar, and the tameim are pushed to the side. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the first scene in explaining the machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yossi. There's a question that we have many times in Shas, if tefillah b'zman mitzvah, if somebody's tamei and now he can become tar, is he obligated to become tar, or if he wants to remain tamei, he can remain tamei. Remeya holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. A person has to become tar if he can. So that's what Remeya holds. Most people are tar, because if they could become tar, they should. Rabbi Yossi says, just because you can become tar doesn't mean you have to become tar. So that's why a lot of people, even though they could be tar, don't make themselves tar, and you have a majority, not yont of time, of tamei people. Now we talk about the kelim. What about the vessels that are found? Says the Mishnah, kol ha-kelim nitzarim b'yushalayim. Derech you read the lebeis tefillah. They used to have two separate paths. One path going to the mikvah, and one path leaving the mikvah. So the path derech you read the lebeis tefillah, the path leading to the mikvah, tameim. I assume that any vessel found dropped on the way to the mikvah is tameim. Derech aliyah tarim, shalai ki ridasim aliyasam. They had different paths going to the mikvah and leaving the mikvah, divrei remeya. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, kulan tahirim, I assume that everything is tar. Chutz ma'asal, fa'magreifa, sal is a basket, magreifa is that, like some sort of a shovel that used to put together the bones of the niftarim, fa'maritza, like we explained, the Gemara is also a utensil that we use, ha'miyuchadim l'kfaris, that was used specially for burial, so we have to assume that those vessels are tamei. So the Gemara Masechta Psachim tries to understand what Remeya says, because it seems to be somewhat self-contradictory. First he says, anything found on the way down to the mikvah is tamei. It means everything else is tahar. Then he says, anything found up on the way up is tahar. It means everything else is tamei. So what is it? So the Gemara says, really Remeya holds that everything is tahar, except what's taken down on the path, what's found on the path going to the mikvah. The point Remeya is trying to show is, even though you have a vessel that's near the mikvah, since it's on the way up from the mikvah, even that I say is tahar. And certainly everything else is tahar. Again, the first scene explains, what's the machlokes Remeya and Rabbi Yossi? Remeya holds that there was a lot of tefillah going on, a lot of things were going to the mikvah, because he holds that tefillah is mana mitzvah. So we have to be concerned that something on the way to the mikvah is tamei. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold there was so much tefillah going on. That's why he holds we can consider everything tar unless it's obvious that it's used for burial. The halacha is that they used to use a knife to shecht the Karban Pesach. We had this Gemara Masech the Pesachim. Sakin shenimtzas b'yudalin. You find a knife in Erev Pesach, shecht b'miyad. We could assume that it's tahar. Why could I assume that it's tahar? Because everybody made sure that the knives were tahar on Erev Pesach, that they could use it to shecht the Karban Pesach. However, says the Chassam Sofer, that's only if you found the knife before the Zman of Shechitas Karban Pesach. Because let's say it's already after the Zman of Shechitas Karban Pesach, so the person might have used it. Now, when you use a knife to shecht, the Gemara says many places in Shas, the neck, the blood is very hot. So it will absorb blood from the neck, and that knife will now have absorption of your Karban Pesach, so I can use it for my Karban Pesach, because then it'll get absorbed into my Karban Pesach. So the window is only Erev Pesach in the morning till the Zman of Shechitas Karban Pesach. But if you find it on the 13th day of Pesach, so people's nature is they procrastinate. They're going to shecht, they're going to make their keli tar the last minute. So they would only take it to the mikveh the last moment of the 13th and then have shemesh afterwards. So the halacha is shana matla, you have to be taivla. Kupitz, but if you find a meat cleaver that you're not allowed to use for Karban Pesach, the halacha is bezeh bezeh. Whether you find it on the 13th day or on the 14th day, shayna matbal. So let's to review a Gemara we learned in Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara says, but we need the meat cleaver, even on the 4th Erev Pesach. Because you have to bring a Karban Chagiga on Erev Pesach, and for that you are allowed to use a lot of break bones. So why is it, do we say it's tameh? So the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that the Mishnah is talking about the following situation. Erev Yud Gimel Nisan, the Nasi, is a geisus. He's very sick. So the people have two reasons to believe they're not going to bring a Karban Chagiga. Number one, if the Nasi dies, which is very likely, everybody's going to become Tameh. A Karban Pesach they bring even when the majority of the Tzibur is Tameh. Tameh Hutra B'Tzibur, not a Karban Chagiga. Moreover, even if the Nasi Baruch Hashem remains alive, a Karban Chagiga is not always brought. It's only brought if there's a shortage of meat in the Karban Pesach. So people aren't going to be toivel it because they may not need it. Now, chalab osli is b'shabbos. The meat cleaver is also needed on the first day yontif, because on yontif you have to bring a karban chagiga, not the chagiga from Erev Pesach. So if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos you're not allowed to be toivel kalim, so we say that they must have been shech b'miyad, you could even use the kupitz. Why? I assume that everything was toivel before. Tesbov. And the same thing on the first day yontif, I could use the kupitz immediately. Nimtzik shur l'sakin. If the kupitz is tied together with the sakin, so whenever I assume the sakin is tar, I reik a sakin, I say the knife, they travel together. Interesting, the Shoyle Meshiv uses this concept for the following Shaila. He says, there was somebody who left a will, that all of his wife's jewelry should be left for his wife after he leaves the world. And he died. And there was a box with jewelry and stones, that some of it was clearly the wives. But his Yarshim said that not all of these things are the wives. Only some of the pieces are the wives. And he claimed, and the wife claimed that everything in the box is hers. So they didn't know what to do. So the Shoyle Meshiv says, what did our Mishnah says? There was something's put together with something else that has the same status. So since some of the jewelry in the box was certainly the wives, we assume that everything in the box is hers. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Rav Avi Meshem Rishu ben Levi. We said that Remeis said the Shuk Shel Elyoin, every right that's found is Tameh. Why? Because Katzim Shel Nachum HaYisham, it was a place where the Goyim made, the Goyim did their laundry, and the halach is that all Goyim are considered like Zav, that's why all the right found here is considered Tameh. Amrev Chananya, Odus HaYon Nachum Yishlaim, that's where they used to kill mules and donkeys, and again there were a lot of goyim there, and that's why the roik is coming. Now, since we mentioned the blood of the donkeys, the Gemara goes in to discuss it. We actually had this entire Gemara on Daf Tes, so we'll learn it a little faster. There was so much blood from these non-kosher animals that were in the vela, they were just killed, and they used to walk up to their knees in blood. And now the question was, is the blood of the nevela metama? For Loyam Lam Dava, the Chazal cannot answer, is it metama or not? Says the Gemara, Reb Simon b'shem Reb Shu ben Levi, Maisa b'perda m'shal beis Rebbe Shemesa. the mule in the home of Rabbi Shuben Levi died. V'tiras the memeshim nevela. They said there was no tumah on its blood. Says the Gemara. Rav Lezer Sholer of Simenat Kama. He wants to know when the halach is that it's not metame. Does it mean no matter how much? Only if you have a small amount. V'loya givi. He refused to answer him. Sholer Rav Shuben Levi. So then he asked Rav Shuben Levi. Amalei ad revius tahar. Up to revius of Adam nevelas tahar. Yos mekan. Tamei. But more than that, even though it's dam nevela, it's tamei. Or Barsh le Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer was upset. Lechazoi Reb Simon Shemasa. When he asked Reb Simon the question, he refused to answer him. Says the Gemara, Rabbi have a Yossi Masa Hadein Avda. Rabbi was saying over this story, Amle Reb Yitzchak Babisna, at Kama, until how much is dam nevela not metamei? Amle ad revius tahar. Until a revius, it's tar. Yes, mekan tamei, but more than that, it's tamei. Ubartei, and then he like pushed him away. Amalei, Reb Zreika, begin to have a shalach because I ask you a question. Because I ask you a question at Bartei, you're pushing me away. What did I do wrong? Amalei, so he explained himself. Do I have a dat toybe? I couldn't concentrate. Damrav Chanan. The pasuk says in Parshas Kisavoy in the Teichacha, "V'choya chayecha teluin chama neged." What if somebody's life is hanging in a balance? Zeshulakech lechitim l'shana. He has funds and he could buy wheat for a year, but like the Mashal explains, he doesn't own his own fields, so he already doesn't have the yishuv hadas. He doesn't have the calmness, the clarity to be able to learn. Or b'charet alayel of yom you'll fear day and night. That's even somebody you know. Worst situation. Somebody has to buy from a wholesaler because he doesn't have funds to buy for a whole year. That's even someone worse off. He has to buy from a retail store because he doesn't have enough to store up. My financial situation is that I have to rely on the retailer, so that's why I don't have the yeshiva das. Here we see Talmid Chum have to have yeshiva das to learn. So what is the halacha regarding the dam hanavela? Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Besaira, adam nevela shu tar. That it's tar. Says the Gemara, ma tar. What did he mean when he said it's tar? Tar malahaksha. We've said many times that for a food to be able to be mekambel tumah, to become susceptible to tumah, the halacha is that it had to become moist. Set with one of the seven beverages, seven liquids. Says the Gemara, dam nevela is not considered a liquid that can make a food susceptible to tumah. Halutamis, to give off tumah, the tamah gives off tumah. Tam and taninim, says the Gemara question. We learned the Mishnah Masechta Kelim. Dam sheretz metame kibsara. That the sheretz blood has the same status as its flesh. Vein and machshir, but it isn't considered a liquid that it should be machshir of food to become susceptible to tumah. Vein lanu kiyotzba. And there's nothing like it. So what does it mean, nothing like it? It means, ostensibly, that only the dam of a sheretz is metame, not the dam of a nevela. So ask the Gemara, how could you say that the dam of a nevela is metame? The Mishnah says that only dam sheretz is metame, not dam nevela. Answers the Gemara, that's not pshat. Pshat in that Mishnah is, v'ein lanu kiyotzba kishir tumasai. A sheretz is unique, that the dam of a sheretz gives off tumah, the same shear like the flesh, which is the shear of an adasha. Like when we learned the Gemara Masech, the daf test, we explained, that's why the dam and the basar of a sheretz combine. Aval do, doma metamik, aval, doma metamik, sorry. Regarding the fact that the dam of an avail gives off tame, it does give off tame just like the basar, just it doesn't have the same shear. This is a shear revius, and this is a shear by the blood, and this is a shear kazayis by the flesh. Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, this question of a dam nevela is metam or not, plig by traya meroim, is machlokes meroim. Charam tamei, v'charam tar. Says the Gemara, mandam tamei, the mandam holds the dam nevela is tamei, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Or mandam tar, the mandam that says tar, holds like Rabbi Shubem Besura. Omele Rav Duma de Menachusa, the Yos. What you just said makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Yehuda, Mirayna de Beinu Seyahava. Rabbi Yehuda was the paisik in the home of the Nasi. And we said before that in the home of the Nasi, they were only making up to a revius, not above a revius. Why? Because that's Rabbi Yehuda's Pesach, that up to Revius Adam Neviel is tar, above Revius Adam Neviel is tame. So we learned Kol Areikin, that all spittle of that's found in the street makes a difference. Says the Gemara, Loikin Amar Avu B'Shem Rav Yosef Ben Chanina, LeGozer Loikin Shiv Yerushalayim, that they did not make any decree that Roik found in Yerushalayim should be tame. Says the Gemara, asked the Gemara, Ha'itmalah, and the Gemara explains, Ravon B'Shem Rav Shum Levi, Katz Shonach Ma'isham. Normally in Yerushalayim, Roik is tar. Only in this specific place, where the Goyim did their laundry, that they say that the Roik is tame. B'Shayimos Hashana, so the Gemara explains Rabbi Yossi Sheet in the Mishnah. The rest of the year, Hatmeim Mahalfim Shibaylis, the Tamei people walk in the middle of the road because they're the majority, as we explained in the Mishnah, the Tahirim Mahalfim Atzad, and the Tar people walk on the side. The Tahirim Mahalfim Stam, if the Tahirim attempt to walk in the middle of the road, Hatmeim Aimeloi Purosha. The Tamei say, no, now we're the majority, and you should stay on the side if you want to avoid us. However, b'shas haregel, during yontif time, v'chayiv adam l'taratz b'regel. So the majority of people are tahirim, it's just the opposite. Ha-tahirim mahalchim shibaylis, the tahir people walk in the middle of the road, v'tamei mahalchim atzad, the tahir people walk on the side, and if the tamei mahalchim stam, if the tamei attempt to walk in the middle of the road, ha-tahirim ha-mermelahem, the tahir people tell them, praishu, you should be on the side, you're a minority, stay on the side. So he said, about the vessels found in Yerushalayim, like Ken Amar Avu B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, like Gozra Kelim Shemushalayim, that the Kelim found in Yerushalayim are not Tamei. Ask the Gemara, so how could Rameyah say in our Mishnah that the Kelim found on the path leading to the Mikvah Tamei? Answers the Gemara, Mekim and Shemim Sudech Yerida Lebeis Tefillah, since these vessels were found on the path leading to the Mikvah, Nasu Chachiyach, it's obvious that they're Tamei. Because if they were not on that, if they were Tahor, what were they doing on the path leading to the Mikvah? Then we spoke in the Mishnah about the various vessels, utensils that were used in burying. One of the things that we said was a Tzipirin. Abishola Yukarin, I say Tzipirin, used to call it Tzipirin. Manda I'm a Tzipirin. Tzipirin means a fingernail. Shayudoyim le Tzipirin. It looked like a fingernail. It was sharp at the edge. Manda Mimritza, another man called the Maritza. Shemritza is Evan Lebeis HaKfaris. There's a few pshatim in learning this. One pshat is that if they wanted to clean up the stones in the cemetery, they used this Maritza. Another pshat is they used to use it to push the gravestone, the Matseva, onto the top of the Oren. So I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Ratvaz. Ratvaz says, there's always a question, he says, about being Mefana a Kever. About moving a kever, usually the question is taking it from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. And the question is that in doing so, you may damage one of the bones. So you're allowed to do it. So he says that the meritza was such a utensil that broke bones, yet we see that it was used. So obvious that if you're moving a kever for a good reason, even if Chas V'Sholom you may accidentally damage a bone, it's mutter. That's what the Ritva says. But a lot of poskim take exception. The Shalos HaTshuva say Mekalocha, the Shalos HaTshuva Sri Deyesh. They explain why they don't necessarily agree with Ritva's. Number one, they say, as we just learned, the meritza may not be something that breaks bones. It may be just something that pushes the stones. So it has nothing to do with breaking bones. Moreover, they say the meritza may only be something that breaks bones. It's talking in a case where the bones are broken anyway. But in a case where there's no reason to believe the bones are broken, you shouldn't move something where you may, chas v'shalom, damage the bones. And in fact, I saw a very interesting shaila. There was somebody who died. It's a big rachmanis. He was a single person, a young person, never got married, the son of almana. And the day after the kvura, somebody came and said that he had a dream that the person was buried out in the wrong direction. Everybody in the cemetery was buried with the head one direction, the feet in the other direction, and this person was buried the other direction. And the question was, would they allow to open up the grave to possibly correct it? So the question was asked to three Rabbonim, Rav Strasser, the Debrezinerov, Reb Zilberstein, the Weitznerov, and the Marshag. And the Marshag refused to be Mekel. And he said two reasons. Number one, he said that although everybody should be buried in the same direction, being buried in the wrong direction is not enough of a reason to open up a kever. Opening up a kever is something that we try to avoid. Moreover, it was a cholim, it was a dream. Who says that the dream was true? So since the Marshag was adamant in his psak, they didn't do anything. The story ends that this person who came with this story admitted a while later that it wasn't true. Just he never got along with this person who had died. He wanted to disgrace him, so he made up this story. Says the Gemara, kupitz. If the kupitz is tied with a sakin, so we learned that it has the same status as the sakin. But now we learn a braisa, just the opposite. That's the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara. Hasakin kshura loy. If a knife is tied to the kupitz, harei kumaisa. So now the question is, what is the story? First in the Mishnah, we said the kupitz takes on the status of the sakin. Here we're saying that the sakin takes on the status of the kupitz. So Mefarshim explained, that when is the halacha that the kupitz takes on the status of the sakin? It's in a situation where I don't know what the status of the kupitz is. So I say, since I'm saying the sakin is tar and the kupitz is connected to it, so I give it the same status. But if I know the kupitz is tamei, then the fact that the sakin is attached to the kupitz means that the sakin should have the same din as the kupitz, and if the kupitz is tamei, then the sakin should be tamei also. Says the Mishnah, in the Beis HaMikdash, particularly in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, there was a proiches. There was a curtain dividing between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Its dimensions were 20 amos in the width by 40 amos in the height. Now, proiches nitmas. Let's say this proiches gets tamei. But Vlad HaTumah, with a Vlad HaTumah. What does a Vlad HaTumah mean? So the Mefarshim explain like this. Midaraisa, a proiches is a keli. It's a utensil. Why does it have a dinim utensil? Because Mefarshim explained it could be used, it was used to cover the Oren. Or since it's used as a curtain, it has the status of a keli. Since it has the status of a keli, so a keli can only be makabel tumah midaraisa from an ava tumah. Midrabonon, it can be makabel from a Vlad HaTumah. Vlad HaTumah means, let's say, a beverage, a liquid touched an ava tumah. So that beverage will now give tumah midrabonon to that proiches. So halach is, matbilanos b'fnim, since it's only tumah midrabonon, we don't have to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash. We could toivel it in the mikveh that was in the Beis HaMikdash compound, or machnisanos b'miyad, even though normally Harav Shemesh is required, here we don't need Harav Shemesh, we could bring it right back in inside immediately. However, v'shitmas b'avatumah, let's say it becomes tamei midaraisa, because an avatumah touched it, so then I can't toivel it in the Beis HaMikdash, so the halach is matbilanoisa b'chutz, I have to toivel it outside the Beis HaMikdash, v'shoytchanoisa b'chil, and I leave it out for Harav Shemesh in the chil, that doesn't have the same kedusha as the Yazara, v'shitzrich Harav Shemesh requires to be left there overnight, or not overnight, past Shkiyah, that it should become tar. Now the Mishnah says another din. Im hoysa chadasha. If you made a new proiches, so always, shaytchana yisa al gave itztaba, kidei shiira amas malachta. We wanted everybody to appreciate the proiches, and therefore, before we brought it in, they used to leave it outside for everybody to see. Now, the Farshim say, that means we toiveled it and put it on these benches. There were some benches in the Harabayas that were visible all around Yerushalayim. That's where we left it out. The Farshim explained, why do we have to be toivel it? The Farshim say that since we don't know who the people that were making it were, what their status was, maybe the women that were making it were nidus, who are tamei. So that's why we have to be toivel it. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say is that any keli that was going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, the first time it's used, before it's going to be used, we have to be toivel. Says the Gemara. Rishim Gamaliel Oim Rishim Rishim Eskan. Proiches, Oiv Yatefach, it was a tefach thick, Ashim Vishtaim Nirmin Nerogish. It was made with 72 looms in the weaving machine, A kol nima v'nima chof dal chutin. Every strand was made out of 24 threads. Orchemem, amma, like we explained, the height, the length, the height was 40 amas, v'roch chof, and the width is 20 amas. U'mishmoni v'shtayim ribua ha'isanasis. It was made out of 82,000 threads. Others say it was made out of 82,000 gold pieces. V'shtayim ha'isam b'chol shana v'shana. Two new proiches were made every year. B'sholosh meis kahanim apilon, so it took 300 kahanim to toivlet. So mefarshim say a number of pshatim. Number one, why was it so important that the am, everybody should see the new proiches? So they explain that just like we learned early in this masechta, v'hoyei necha royis es merecha, there's a special benefit attained when you see something that is holy. The proiches, which is so holy, we wanted everybody to see because it affects them positively. And based on this, the Trumas Hadeshin says, we see how important the proiches is. So he says that let's say somebody built in a shul a beautiful Aron Kodesh, and the wood or the metal, whatever the Aron Kodesh is made out of, is absolutely beautiful. He says still you should have a proiches. Proiches is important to have. Why did they make two new a year? If it was such an expensive article, why did they have to make two new a year? So I saw two pshat. One pshat is, because like we learned many times, the blood of Kabbanis was spritzed on the proiches, so it got dirty. So that's why they had to make two new a year. But another pshat I saw, very deep pshat. We don't want anybody to get too used to anything in Kedusha. Because Hergel, once somebody gets used to something, it loses the effect. So as soon as the proiches got a little old, they switched it to a new one, that people should get a new reinvigoration of Kedusha. Says the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that each strand was made out of 24 threads. Says the Gemara. Ila machut echot, kafel shnayim. If the Torah only said one chut, I would say that the strand was made out of two threads. Shazer, if the Torah also uses the word shazer, means shloish. Mashar, now the Torah used the word masha, lashisha. Abamikan. Now there were four different materials used to make the proiches. Tcheles vagoma. Tcheles is blue wool. Agoma is purple wool. Tlashani is red wool. Vesheish is linen. 6 times 4. Ha'esem v'arba. That's how you have the number 24 in the Mishnah. Tani. But we learned another braisa. Shlosh mishtayim. It was really 32. Why? If the Torah only used the word chut, it would have been echot. Kafel, l'shnayim. Shazer is double, arba. Mashar is double, 4 is 8. Now we have the four materials. Arba mikan, 4 times 8. Hatlas v'tren, you have 32. Tana, another braisa says, that each strand was made out of 48 threads. Abram v'shmoina. Why? Because ilay machut echot, kafel l'shnayim. Klia, the Torah uses the word klia, is l'shloisha. Shazer is double, is shisha. Mashar is double, shazer is shneim asar, 12. 12 times 4, abim ikan, 12 times 4, harim time is 48. Ask the Gemara. Kosov echad oimer, one place it says, maisa roikim. The way it was made was with embroidery. The kosov echad oimer, another place says that different things were made maisa choshev. Choshev means the designer made it. What's the difference between Maisa Roikim and Maisa Chayshif? Says the Gemara. Maisa Roikim is parts of Echad. One face, one design. Maisa Chayshif, what does Maisa Chayshif mean? Shnei Patsufis, two faces. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya say, Chadam, Maisa Roikim is Arimikan Varimikan. You had a face, you had a design on both sides, but it was the same design. Maisa Chayshif means Arimikan, the chaluk mekan. On one side you had a design like a lion, and the other side is armor, and the other one says ma'aser roikim is a rimikan the chaluk mekan. One side is a lion and the other side is empty. Ma'aser choshev is a rimikan, a lion on one side, nesh mekan. So the ma'aser choshev, according to him, is not only did it have two designs, but it had two different designs. One side would be a lion and one side would be an eagle. So we learned b'shmoyne v'shtayim rubim ha'isanasis. It was made out of 82,000. We learned either 82,000 gold pieces or 82,000 threads, says the Gemara. And then we learned it took 300 kahanim to be toivlet. Rav Yitzchak b'Bizna b'Shem Shmuel goes matanan. That when the Mishnah says it's 300, it's an exaggeration. Although, there's an interesting gra. The gra says, if you take the perimeter of a paroichus, which is 40 in the height and 20 in the length, the perimeter will be 120 amma. 120 amma, each amma is made out of 5 tefachim, equal 600 tefachim, 120 times 5. 600 tefachim, every kohen has, a tefach is a fist, so every kohen has 2 tefachim. So 600 divided by 2, every kohen, is 300. So now he says that's how we got to the number 300. So now the Mefarshim ask on the Gra, so why is the Gemara saying it's a guzma? Why is the Gemara saying it's exaggeration? The calculation works perfectly. So I saw two ways of explaining the Gra. One way of explaining the Gra is that when the Mishnah says, when the Gemara says it's a guzma, he's not talking about the carrying of the proichus. There Yitaka needed 300 kohanim. What the Mishnah means, when the Gemara means a guzma, the Gemara means about the 82,000 pieces. We learned that you needed 82,000 dinrim, or you had 82,000 threads. That's the exaggeration. But the 300 kohanim is not an exaggeration. Another pshat that I saw is that the exaggeration is that although 300 kohanim can hold the proichus at one time, it's an exaggeration to say that we needed so many people. It could be carried with much less people. Says the Gemara, another example of where the Mishnah mentions an exaggeration. Taman Taninim, we learned the Mishnah in Masech Tamim. Pam Hayalak Shlosh Meis Kor. There was a place in the Beis HaMikdash where they kept the ash of the carbon. So sometimes so much ash accumulated 300 kor, which is a tremendous amount. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Berbun, B'Shem Shmuel, Guzma, that's exaggeration. There was never that much ash in one place.